Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome Terry Torrance to the podcast. Welcome, Terry.
Hey, thank you.
So, Terry, you are new to the podcast, so I figure I'd do a brief introduction. You are a reliability engineering training specialist with Iridicio. Prior to that, you spent a bunch of time in automotive and with a background on automation and controls. You also have your CMRP, CMRT, and MLT1. So really robust in all the maintenance and reliability stuff, but I'm sure that's not all that you know or do. So can you help me fill in the blanks about yourself?
Sure. I started out as an electrician. Then I went to a maintenance tech, technical trainer, control specialist, master trainer, controls engineer, but mostly I'm just a tinker and a continuous learner. So I love everything that has to do with automation and controls. And of course, my background is in maintenance. My grandfathers were mechanics and machinists, and my father was a mechanic. So it kind of seemed like the natural path for me to take. And that's pretty much me in a nutshell without getting too wordy.
All right. Excellent. So with all that said, how long have you been involved in maintenance and reliability in some aspect?
Okay. So my comprehension of those words have different timestamps. For the first several years of my career as a maintenance technician, which I've spent well over a decade as part of that, reliability was not part of my focus at all. My plant celebrated the people that made machines run when they broke down, and I wanted to be recognized for being good at my job. So that was kind of the mindset that I had. So what was important to me at the time, in probably my first 10 years or so of maintenance, was just being a good troubleshooter. Whoever could recognize the problem and fix it the fastest was, you know, good at their job, so to speak. And I was good at that, so I was promoted quickly. It wasn't until about 3 years after I was promoted to a technical trainer and I was asked to read Ramesh Gulati's book that I started to make the transition into the reliability-centered mindset. So I'd say for the last 6-7 years is when I really started, is when I would timestamp my cognition of reliability-centered maintenance.
All right, excellent. And I like how you made that distinction there, because there is that distinction. Now, you have a CMRT. What is a CMRT? Yes.
Well, the acronym stands for, from the Society of Maintenance Reliability Professionals, for Certified Maintenance and Reliability Technician. And from their standpoint, it is an effort to standardize a body of knowledge for maintenance technicians globally.
All right. So that kind of tells us what it is, but who is it designed for? Is it designed for managers, techs? Who's it really for?
No, it's specific to technicians. It's geared towards multi-craft technicians, maintenance technicians. And I say that because a technician that is only skilled in one craft may struggle with some questions regarding the subject matter if they are unfamiliar with, at the very least, the fundamentals of other crafts.
All right. So it's looking at making sure there's a basic understanding of, you know, electricity, a basic understanding of gearing and power transmission and stuff like that. It's focused on all the aspects that a technician would be required to do, correct?
Correct. Even when it comes down to machinery and fabrication, welding, all of those aspects that a maintainer may or may not perform in a facility.
All right, so the CMRT is designed to test for all of the different aspects that a technician would be required to do or be involved in within the facility, correct?
Yes, sir. It's an effort by the Society of Maintenance and Reliability Professionals to standardize a body of knowledge and capabilities to make maintenance technicians more effective in all of the functions that they would probably perform on a day-to-day basis.
All right, excellent. Now, why would someone want to achieve the CMRT?
Passing the CMRT exam, I know for me and several others that I took the exam with, was probably a bigger deal for me than passing the CMRP. And because it demonstrates a level of understanding best practices regarding maintenance functions and responsibilities. The technicians will be recognized as someone who prioritizes best practice regarding safe work practices, tool check before use, precision maintenance skills, condition-based monitoring, and excellence in verbal and written communication.
All right, so it sets apart the average maintenance technician and demonstrates that there's a focus on doing the things correctly. Proper alignment,
yes.
Proper bearing installation, all those things that come to haunt us every day in our facilities, it's focused on eliminating those things.
Correct. Absolutely.
All right. So what is included in this body of knowledge? You mentioned a few things. You mentioned safety, precision maintenance, electrical, mechanical, but what's all included in this body of knowledge?
So the SMRP has it broken out into four pillars. Maintenance practices, preventive and predictive maintenance, troubleshooting and analysis, and then the last pillar would be corrective maintenance.
All right. Where do you find people struggle the most in this body of knowledge? Is it the safe work practices? Is it the preventative predictive piece or corrective maintenance? Where do they struggle?
I would say the largest struggles will be, once again, that the test is directed at multi-craft technicians. If the technicians taking the exam aren't at least familiar with several crafts, they may have some difficulties passing the exam. But fortunately, the exam is primarily focused on safety topics and best practices. So technicians have plenty of opportunity to pass the exam if they're well versed in these topics, you know, with a fundamental understanding of the rest.
All right, excellent. Now, where does one begin to learn about this body of knowledge? Is it just based on the job training, or is there books, or what should people be doing to prepare and understand this body of knowledge?
So to look at the body of knowledge, I highly recommend looking at the candidate guide for certification. CMRT, SMRP provides some pretty good resources. They provide a list of all the resources that they use. If I was going to recommend a place to start, I would definitely say two books out of the several resources that are listed in the candidate guide are Maintenance Reliability Best Practices by Ramesh Gulati and the Accident Prevention Manual for Industrial Operations by the National Safety Council. And the reason why I picked the second one over the OSHA standards is just because a lot of technicians, when you bring up OSHA, I know from my point of view, when I've brought it up before and when I've tried to train people on, you know, just straight from the OSHA handbooks, it can be a little overwhelming and difficult to digest. So I'd actually start them with something that's a little bit more readily digested and then go from there.
All right, excellent. I'll make sure to put links to those in the show notes so people can easily find those to use. Now, what does...
Right. And I'd just like to add one thing, too. After those two resources, there's, like I said, the list of resources. The very next book, if I had to pick a third book or a resource, is whatever the technician that's going to take the exam is weakest in. Let's say it's, you know, they've never touched a mill or a lathe, I highly recommend they just take get a really good read out of the machinist handbook, for example, so that they can kind of build up their weaknesses and just kind of focus on the fundamentals, what's best practice regarding their weaknesses. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to make sure I added that little quip in there.
No, absolutely. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for those insights. So if you're a mechanic, haven't touched electrical very much, maybe it's IPT's training. I can't remember the exact name, a little green book. I'll find it and put it in the show notes. But it's, you know, basics of industrial electricity, you know, the machinist handbook, like you mentioned, those sorts of things. And I think that's, you know, we want to make sure everyone understands what we have going into this exam.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
Now, you mentioned some stuff around preventative and corrective maintenance. What exactly is that in the body of knowledge? Is it, you know, lubrication techniques? Is it, you know, repair versus replace decisions? What's involved with those parts of the body of knowledge?
Lots of lubrication fundamentals, a lot of, I mean, filled with, you know, understanding contamination exclusion, understanding just a lot of lubrication guidelines and standards. As a matter of fact, I have mentioned in the past that it's really good for prior to taking the CMRT, me having an MLT certification was a great start. It was very beneficial to me going into that exam.
All right.
So lots of prerequisites there. I'd say safety is number one focus, you know, safe work practices, environmental, and then lubrication standards are a must.
All right. Excellent. Now, what does this exam consist of? If we studied everything, what do we expect when we walk into this exam? Is it, you know, 2,000 questions? Is it practical and written? What is it?
It's multiple choice all the way through. The math and the test is basic, so that was never an issue. A lot of the questions include charts and graphs, so there's not going to be a lot of material that you need to cover, like try to remember, for instance, you know, viscosity indexes or, you know, drill tap indexes. None of that stuff is stuff that you need to commit to memory. It's all right there in a chart and graph. You just have to have the ability to read and comprehend what those graphs are trying to tell you. So just a really good ability to take exams will go a long way with this exam. And of course, experience always helps, right? Having experience. But the mostly from my experience, the test covers, it's really hard on safety, health, and environmental topics. And then it has machinists, electrical condition-based monitoring sprinkled in. Now, regarding the condition-based monitoring, you don't have to, you know, understand fast Fourier transforms. You just have to understand what we're trying to achieve with condition-based monitoring. It's, you don't have to be a certified thermographer to pass this exam. You just need to understand why you would use thermography. So as far as that's concerned, you know, don't dig too much in the weeds in those topics.
All right. That's great advice. Cause you know, when I hear condition monitor, predictive maintenance, to me, that's, you got to be in the weeds. But to understand that we're under, the test is looking for why do we use it, what is it, but not the specific hows and technical pieces of each is very, very helpful, at least to someone like myself who would dive into all that stuff.
Right. The goal of the test, the goal of this exam is not to certify you as an ultrasound technician. It's just to give you a basic understanding of why you would use it. And that's why Ramesh's book is so great. You know, he doesn't get real deep in the weeds on any of that subject matter. He just tells you, hey, this is why this is beneficial. And that's what we need maintenance technicians to truly understand.
Yep, absolutely. All right. So if someone decides they want to write the CMRT, what is the first thing they should do?
I can't stress enough that they really should read and understand what best practice and precision maintenance means prior to taking this exam. And of course, like I said, experience counts for a lot, right? If you've got a decade's worth of experience of doing things the right way, then you'll perform really well.
All right, excellent. Now, what is the one thing you hope CMRTs would bring to organizations? Now, we know why an individual may want that, but what would CMRTs bring to organizations?
I really hope this brings a true grassroots movement in facilities. And what I mean by that is, in my opinion, for culture to truly change regarding reliability and maintainability, the technicians need to be in the driver's seat. Their mind needs to be, you know, they need to have the motivation of, hey, I want to be celebrated for being someone who does things the right way every time. And management obviously needs to support it, but it won't be sustainable if management is in the driver's seat, because managers either move up or move out typically. But if operations and maintenance are driving this and this is their goal, it will be a lot easier to sustain from my point of view. And that's what I'm hoping the CMRT will bring to organizations, is it will develop champions in maintenance as technicians.
All right, excellent. That is a great thing to do. We want those champions to drive and sustain all the improvements that we make. Without those, we're not going to be successful. Now, if you had a magic wand, what is the one thing you would change in how people prepare for the CMRT exam?
That they would keep best practice in the forefront of their mind when they're answering each choice. When they're making each selection in the exam, that is what they need to be thinking about. Not what do I do at my plant, but what is best practice? Even if they haven't ever heard of this idea, if they can think of it in their mind like, hey, you know what, that's a great idea. When they see that as an answer, that's how it should be done. That's the selection that they need to make.
All right, excellent. And when people ask me what should they do when they write a CMRP exam, I say the same thing. What is best practice, not what you do? That goes a very long way.
Exactly.
So what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today on the CMRT?
I really think SMRP has something special with the certification. I think it is necessary that you select only a few techs in the beginning to justify this, if you will, to prepare for the exam the first time around. And there are other certs that will help them prior to going into CMRT. So if they already have a background, if you select the technicians that already have a background with condition-based monitoring, or maybe they helped write your CMMS, or they've been part of your PM optimization program, those technicians, select a handful of technicians, have them study and get a little bit stronger wherever they feel like they're weak. They'll know where their strengths and weaknesses lie. And I think that it shouldn't be just this mass program at first, because I wanted to succeed. And so I think that you just take the top people that have some background in this, or have some understanding, or that are able to get an understanding of these principles quickly, and then they become your champions, and they kind of become your focus group, so to speak, as far as creating more excitement, generating more excitement towards this process, because right. it's a process, not an event.
Yeah, excellent. So we want to start with that small core group, build excitement, build the capability, build all those things, and have it almost become self sustaining once we get the initial people in there and work into what they want.
Right, and I might add too that it's a really good idea prior to taking this exam, if you don't have some type of training metrics, if you don't have a training program and you're not tracking what your training program is doing, now's the time to start before you start moving into something like a CMRT examination, because you really want to develop your in-house process prior to this, I think. If you're not mature there, I think that you're really going to struggle getting people to pass this examination, because you don't really know who's ready and who isn't, right?
Yep, absolutely. Well, Terry, you provided some great insight on the CMRT exam, but before you go, where can people find out more about you? Do you have any other additional references or resources you want to share with us? How can people get in touch with you?
So right now, LinkedIn is probably the best way to get in touch with me. I'm currently working on my own blog called R Squared. I'm going to do a shameless plug here. Reliability in robotics is what R Squared means. We're going to cover topics like ergonomics for robots, how to use your sensors that you currently have for condition-based monitoring before you purchase more, topics like that. I'll have affiliate links to Iridicio. And that's right now where you can get a hold of me is LinkedIn, and until I finish my blog site, until it's developed, that's pretty much the only way besides Iridicio.
All right. Excellent. Well, Terry, I want to thank you for taking the time today. I definitely appreciate it. Hopefully we answered some of the questions that our listeners have about the CMRT, because it's not as widely well known as the CMRP. So hopefully this provides some awareness and educate some people on the topics. So thank you very much.
Thank you, and have you on anytime. It was a pleasure being part of this. Thank you so much, James.
Thank you.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.